My name is Christy, and I moved into a new house last year. It was a farmhouse on the outskirts of the city, perfect for me and my boyfriend, Edmund. We had a dog named Buzzo, who was a big girl, part husky and part shepherd. The house was about 100 years old and had a colorful history. We were told that the past owner had lived there his entire life and rarely left. Sometimes we found weird pictures stashed in the corners of the basement, a close-up of an eye, or what looked like blood. After he died, the house was completely renovated and put back on the market. A few years later, we bought it. It was too far out of the city for most of us, but as my boyfriend and I both worked primarily off our computers, we loved the privacy, along with the low price on such a huge lot. Buzzo absolutely loved the acres of space she could run in. About a month after we moved in, my world began to change. Edmund had gone to bed hours earlier as I sat up reading in the living room with Buzzo curled up at my feet. Then a bang on the door made me jump straight off the couch. I was literally on my feet within seconds, staring at the door. It was almost 2 a.m, and no one lived anywhere close to us. I thought maybe a car had broken down and a person needed help, so I approached the door. Buzzo was growling at my heels, peeking around me at the door. Our door was thick mahogany wood with no peephole. There was a small half-moon window at the top, which I stood on my tiptoes to see out. It was dark and I couldn't see anyone out there.
"Who's there?"
No one answered for a moment, and then I heard a grunt. It made me freeze. I started to wonder if maybe an animal was running around injured and had crashed into my door.
"Hello?"
And then he laughed. It was barely audible, nothing more than the smallest of giggles. But I heard his thick voice giggling. Buzzo immediately started barking and backing away. She had obviously heard it too, and it literally made her fur stand on end. Edmund came downstairs rubbing his eyes and saw us.
"What's all the barking?"
Then he saw my expression and added,
"What's wrong, babe?"
"There's someone out there. I can't see him, but I heard him." Edmund gave me a puzzled look and then approached the door, looking out the window a lot easier than my 5'4" self could.
"Well, I don't see anyone."
"I know, but I heard him, Edmund. I swear to God." "So did Buzzo." Edmund turned and went into the hall closet, taking out his steel baseball bat, something he had bought the day we decided to move here.
"Stand back further and hold on to Buzzo."
Then he unlocked the door and cracked it open, peering out. After a second, he opened it wider and wider until his silhouette was illuminated against the black night.
"Hey, who's there?"
No answer.
"I'm calling the police if you don't leave."
Then, from far away, an echoing giggle coursed through the air. It was a sickening sound. The sound of a full-grown man giggling like a young child. I saw Edmund's back stiffen as soon as I heard it. Saw the muscles clench in the arm that held the bat.
"Go call the cops, Chris,"
he said without turning to me. I backed away, holding Buzzo by her collar as she struggled to get away. I reached the phone in the kitchen with my eyes still on Edmund, who had yet to move. I could tell he was trying to see who was out there. I grabbed the phone off the wall and in my haste, let go of Buzzo's collar. In a blink, she was gone and ran straight through Edmund, almost knocking him over. She ran straight into the thick darkness, Edmund screaming after her. I completely forgot about the phone and not calling 911. All I could think about was my dog. I ran straight out after her. Edmund grabbed for my arm but missed.
"Chris, get the fuck back here!"
I was immediately lost in the darkness. I couldn't see anything,
but I could hear the jingle of Buzzo's collar in the distance. I ran for the sound, not thinking of anything but her. Yes, I have a lot of love for my dog that goes pretty far. I adopted her when I was 16 after my sister had committed suicide. She is what pulled me through my depression. She was everything to me. Buzzo! I heard a muffled snort to my left. It sounded like when someone tries to stifle a laugh. I felt something grab my arm and screamed out, throwing a wild fist. I connected with Edmund's jaw, and he stumbled back, cursing. Sorry. Nice swing. He mumbled, fidgeting his jaw back and forth. He held out a flashlight to me, and I took it gratefully. As soon as I turned on the light, I regretted it. The light reflected into the eyes of something that I wish I had never seen. It was a man, if you want to call it that. He was on the ground, his legs dragging behind him, and his head lifted towards us with a wide grin. His eyes reflected maliciously at us as he snorted again and began to pull himself quickly towards us. We both stood in shock. He was almost at our ankles when a snarling rang through the air, and the man, the thing, was torn backwards quickly. He was tossed from side to side like a rag doll, and I pointed my light up to see Buzzo with a mouthful of blood and a cloth. I called her to me, and we all took off running towards the house, leaving that thing as far behind us as we could. When we got back into our house, I inspected Buzzo. Her mouth was full of wet, warm blood. I hoped none was her own. There were shards of cloth in her mouth that looked like denim, and there was some flesh that I gagged over as I tried to remove it from her teeth. We didn't sleep well that night. All three of us huddled on the couch under one blanket, staring at the door, waiting to hear the sounds of laughter. The next morning, I called our realtor and told him a different version of the story. I said an old man was pestering us all night and he looked injured, and I wanted more information about the previous owner. Did he have friends that were not right in the head that could be trying to visit him? Our realtor told us that he would come over with more information. This is when everything truly changed. Our realtor brought a folder with him and a pale expression. It was the first time he had looked further into the previous owner's records. The man's name was Stanley Ronald. He was never married and had no children. He had been ordered to seek medical help at a younger age to battle sociopath-type problems, including cutting himself and killing small animals. When his parents died, he was 24. He never left the farmhouse he was born into. In layman's terms, it said that Stanley had started to show more gruesome self-inflicted wounds, including gouging large pieces of skin out and eating them. He would take a vegetable peeler to his arm and peel long pieces of skin off and would slurp them like spaghetti. He refused to be treated and removed himself from the ward. This was all years ago, remember, and things were not as strictly enforced. Stanley lived out his days alone in his house. One day, a person who was lost in the area came to his house to use the phone and was hit with a disgusting odor. The smell of rotting flesh filled the house. The person called the police, who broke into the house. On the floor were the decomposing remains of what was left of Stanley's legs. Both legs looked like they had been cleanly severed right below the knee. And both legs had the flesh chewed off almost to the bone. The police thought that foul play was present and that someone had murdered Stanley and animals had got to his legs. They didn't know that Stanley had loved the taste of his own flesh. They didn't know that Stanley was a sociopath. What they did know was that Stanley's body was unattainable. They never found the rest of him. They assured that he had been murdered and closed the case quickly since he had no family or friends to care about his loss. Stanley was never seen again until that night he dragged himself giggling to our porch, happy to meet the new guests in his house, happy for the smell of young skin. Bad things come in threes, they say. I think it's true. Last month, I had to put my dog down. Buzzo got infected by some unknown bacteria while running in the city park. Though my vet tried her best to save him, sometimes doing everything you can still isn't enough. I cried a lot after burying him in our local cemetery. A week after this, I caught my boyfriend cheating on me. Our 4-year relationship ended in 1 minute. Then, when I thought things couldn't get any worse, I got fired from my job. I shut myself in my room and didn't go out for 2 weeks. The only thing that gave me the strength to get back up again was my art collection. It was the only thing that accompanied me through the difficult times. I spent most of my time looking and curating my collection. Soon, I managed to find a new job, albeit it was located very far from my home. It was a 30-minute bus ride and then a 20-minute walk to my apartment. That was pretty much the only downside, because the bus ride was very boring and only a handful of people took the bus at such late hours. So every day while leaving the office, I prayed to God to get me home safely. It's scary walking home alone at night, probably even more so for a woman. I often worked overtime, and by the time I got off the bus, it would be around 9 p.m. 20 or so minutes of walking meant that I would get home at nearly 9:30. In December, when it got dark by 5 p.m., it was pretty dangerous. I always walked as fast as I could and held my keys between my knuckles. The other hand was always in my coat pocket, ready to grab the pepper spray. For a couple weeks, nothing ever happened. Until last night. Last night, everything was different. I worked later than usual, so by the time I went to the bus stop, it was already 8:30. The stranded bus stop stood on the street like a forgotten memory. The last bus comes at 9, so I realized I would have to wait half an hour. I shivered and scrunched up my shoulders. It was negative 15 degrees, and I couldn't wait to get home and snuggle underneath my covers. My face was starting to get numb due to the cold. I kept my bag on the bench to light up a smoke. I've recently started smoking again. As I clicked my lighter and the yellow flame flashed up, my eyes went to the other side of the road. A guy was standing there, looking directly at me. His clothes were unclean, covered in patches of dirt. His blonde hair had a grayish tint as the result of seldom bathing. The skin of his face was in bad condition too. There were scratched wounds and pimples all over his cheeks and forehead. In one word, he looked like a homeless person with a serious drug problem. After staring at me for seconds, the guy started to slowly walk in my direction. I didn't flinch or react to this. I let out the first drag of my cigarette and just kept my hand inside my pocket, grabbing the pepper spray tightly. He crossed the road and came to the bus stop. Not getting any reaction from me, he tried to act cool. He kicked a pebble on the street and then looked at me again. I could feel his eyes on me. But before he could walk up to me, bright headlights appeared from the distance. I looked up at the sky and thanked God for making the bus arrive earlier that night. Without wasting a single second, I threw away my half-burnt cigarette, grabbed my bag, and got on the bus. But unfortunately, the man didn't leave me alone. He got on the bus too. There were 4 to 5 people on the bus. I sat down by a window seat, and the man stood near the door. Our eyes met. He grinned ear to ear, showing his grimy yellow teeth with stains of tobacco or gum. knows what. I realized that he was planning to get off at my stop so that he could do whatever came to his mind when he saw me at the bus stop. He hasn't said or done anything disrespectful, so I couldn't take any actions against him. When my stop came, I got up to walk past him. I was waiting for him to do or say something weird so that I could scream or tell other passengers about him. But to my surprise, he moved out of my way like a gentleman so that I could get off the bus without any trouble. I got down, and as expected, he did the same too. I once again grabbed the pepper spray tightly because I knew now he was going to follow me home. I turned around, and there he was, following me like a night owl. His eyes glowed like a wolf. The sick smile remained on his face. He was walking at a slow pace. The sound of his shoes crunching on the concrete ground increased my heartbeat. I started to walk faster. His footsteps quickened too. I grabbed my keys tightly and looked back. He blew a kiss at me and called out to me. "Hey baby, where you going?" I stopped and screamed, "Leave me alone, or I'm calling the cops." "The cops will take 10 minutes or more to come to your rescue, whereas I can cover the distance between us in 5 seconds or less. You still think that's a good option?" I started running. I knew he was going to follow me, and I couldn't let him follow me home. Gasping for breath, I blindly turned into a smaller side street. The streetlights started flickering violently, matching the rhythm of my heartbeat. Shit! It was a dead end. I was trapped. I turned around and faced him. The streetlights stopped flickering and stayed on. As he walked closer to me, I saw his face more clearly. He had a bad odor like a goat. His blue eyes sparkled, and he gazed at me hungrily. He smiled creepily and spat on his palm, then wiped the saliva all over his face like he was applying sun cream. I slowly put the keys in my pocket and tightened my grip on the pepper spray. He started walking closer to me and said in his cold, spine-chilling voice, "I told you it wouldn't take more than 5 seconds. So what now, little birdie? Are you planning to fly away?" I took a step back, and he let out a demonic laugh. "I love the fear in your eyes. It will feel nice to tear your clothes apart and enjoy what's underneath." He grasped my shoulders and pulled me closer to him. "Are you ready, my love?" I took out the pepper spray and aimed at his eyes. In a second, he fell on the floor screaming in excruciating pain, and I let out a sigh of relief. Now, I can finish my business in peace. When he laid on the ground writhing in pain, I took out my last and final weapon, a blank syringe. I filled it with air and then pushed it on the exact spot around his neck, which will make his heart collapse in no time. This is how I hunt my victims. It's safe and easy. Once his movement stopped forever, I took out his eyes. This was going to be an extraordinary addition to my collection. Oh, I forgot to tell you. I love collecting human body parts that remind me of an incident. Like his eyes will remind me of this night, I have prepared a jar full of chemical solutions. I will keep his eyes in there, right beside my boyfriend's heart.